Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for May 22nd, 2009. And since this is an audio podcast, this week we thought we'd bring you a bunch of stories about the science of hearing and sound. We'll tell you what the hyena's laugh really means. We've got an update on how scientists are using sound to find some of the world's most endangered whales. And we'll tell you why being in shape might make your hearing worse. First off, though, Suzanne Bard investigates claims that some animals can dance to a beat.
You've probably seen video clips of dogs, cats, or birds that look like they're dancing to music. But can our furry and feathered friends really move to a beat? To find out, Harvard University biologist Adina Scharchner and her colleagues systematically analyzed thousands of YouTube videos featuring a variety of dancing animals. They discovered an interesting trend.
All of the videos that looked like they were moving actually in synchrony with the beat were in animals that could imitate sound.
But she says non-mimics, such as dogs, showed no sign of staying on the beat. And lab studies confirmed that some parrots, which are vocal mimics, can keep time with the music.
So this really suggests that maybe the capacity for vocal imitation and the capacity for keeping a beat or synchronizing to a beat are actually related in the brain. And even more than that, that the way we got some of the brain mechanisms that we need in order to keep a beat was through natural selection for vocal imitation.
Humans, of course, are vocal mimics as well. And the study suggests that dance might have emerged as a byproduct of our own mimicry skills.
Thanks, Suzanne. Switching to mammals now, the hyena's laugh is familiar to just about everyone. But are the African carnivores really laughing? Not according to Nicola Matavon, a behavioral scientist at UC Berkeley and the University of Saint-Étienne in France. Matavon says hyenas often giggle when they're competing with each other over food, and that an individual's status is reflected in its call. For instance, females are always dominant over males, and their calls are more even in pitch.
The giggles of the dominant animals are more like, oh, 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 oh. And the giggles of the subordinate animals are more like, oh, 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 oh. The pitch of the giggle of the subordinate animals varies more than the one of the dominant animals. So during the course of the giggle, it goes higher to high frequencies and then down.
Matavon adds that younger hyenas emit higher pitched laughs than the older ones do. Next, Suzanne is going to tell you about an endangered whale that's finally come back home.
North Atlantic right whales once spent their summers getting fat, eating tiny crustaceans in the waters off the southeastern tip of Greenland, and others summered near the coasts of New England, Nova Scotia, and other areas of the Atlantic. But right whales have been a target of whale hunts since medieval times, according to Oregon State University biologist Dave Mellinger.
They were probably the first whale hunted in the Atlantic by Basque whalers back around 1000 AD or something like that, 1100 AD. Because they were close to shore, they were big and relatively slow, and they floated when they died. Right whales float when you harpoon them, and they didn't sink like a lot of other whales do. So that's why they were targeted so much. They were favorite targets of the whalers, and they remained that way until the population got so low that it wasn't worth hunting them anymore.
Their popularity was also their demise, and the population crashed in the late 19th century. And near Greenland, the right whales disappeared altogether. One of the world's most endangered cetaceans, only about 350 right whales survive today. But Mellinger says the species has unexpectedly returned to Greenland. His team recently rediscovered the whales while listening for their calls in the waters around the old Greenland whaling grounds.
And so we were pretty excited. It meant that right whales were again using that area, and we think there are a significant number of them. We don't know how many. We don't have a good way of counting them, but we do know that we detected them on 17 different days in one fall when we think they were migrating south. Just finding a bigger and potentially separate population is pretty exciting. I mean, if there are only 300 or 350 left alive, if you find even one more whale, it's pretty exciting.
Mellinger says that today, the biggest threats to right whales are accidental strikes by large ships and also getting caught in fishing nets. He says it's possible that the Greenland whales represent a separate population previously undocumented by science. If that's the case, it could be very good news for the future of the species.
Thanks, Suzanne. Encouraging news. Moving on now to hearing in humans. Turns out, how quickly you react to a startling sound could be related to your physical fitness. This according to evolutionary psychologist John Newhoff at the College of Worcester in Ohio. He and his colleagues tested how quickly people react to a loud sound that's moving toward them. They found that people who were in better shape responded more slowly to the sound. Newhoff says this makes sense from an evolutionary perspective because weaker people would have benefited from more lead time to escape a predator.
The more susceptible you are to being someone's prey, the more advanced warning you would need from the auditory system. You want that warning that's scaled to the ability of your body to get you out of the way or to get prepared for this looming sound source.
He says the results held true in both men and women.
What we've shown here is that physical fitness plays a part in influencing these judgments.
In the future, his team plans to test whether improving a person's physical fitness slows down his or her reaction time. Next, Suzanne reveals the surprising connection between estrogen and hearing.
The hormone estrogen is responsible for many important functions in the body, including the development of sex characteristics like breast development in women. Most people don't associate estrogen with hearing, but University of Rochester neuroscientist Raphael Pinault says deficient estrogen can lead to severe hearing loss.
Hearing thresholds in humans, they correlate with blood levels of estrogen. The processing of sounds, for example, is more efficient in women relative to men. Women with Turner syndrome who are deficient in estrogen, they exhibit marked hearing loss, pointing to a relationship between estrogen and hearing function.
He and his colleagues gave extra estrogen to songbirds, whose brain structures for processing sounds and remembering them are very similar to humans. Adding the hormone instantly increased the sensitivity of a group of auditory neurons in an area of the brain called the NCM.
To our surprise, we found that application of estrogen directly in NCM significantly increased the sensitivity of neurons to the auditory stimuli. And by being more sensitive, they could more easily carry information about the songs that they were being exposed to. And, you know, importantly, this effect of estrogen happened instantaneously on a timescale that is compatible with fast neurotransmitters. And unlike our more accepted view of the influence of hormones in the body, which takes days to months to act. So this was surprising.
And to verify estrogen's effects on hearing, they conducted another experiment
where we prevented the cells in NCM to produce estrogen. And we found that by preventing this endogenous production of estrogen in NCM, the auditory processing of songs was very much impaired. So our findings indicated that estrogen has this marked impact on the physiology of neurons that process sounds in the brain. And it does so in two levels. On a faster time scale, it regulates or controls how sensitive the neurons are to the auditory information. And on a much more protracted or slower time scale, it engages the activation of genes that are required for sensory learning.
Pinault says researchers need to pay more attention to the brain when it comes to understanding hearing loss.
So as a result of this finding, it's clear to us that we need to seriously consider brain-based mechanisms of hearing impairment and not just those that are primarily or secondarily due to problems in the inner ear.
He adds that estrogen therapy holds promise for the treatment of hearing loss in the future.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's our show for this week. Next week, we'll tell you about efforts to improve the strength of spider silk.
Didn't Spider-Man already do that?
Yes, this is just another example of science following in the footsteps of comic books. Also, as spring starts to fade into summer, we'll answer a listener's question about how those darned mosquitoes, as tiny as they are, always seem able to find you. And we'll tell you why look-alike species are causing scientists lots of consternation. Until then, check out our Science Update Podcast Daily Edition. We've got a new story every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.